from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, that Green River guy totally has what Sarah was calling the molestache. That's totally the guy who stays at... Would you like to stay after church and help me put the card tables away in the basement?
And then he's listening to people with a look on his face like, are you talking to me?
What like are you talking about? It's like we're interrupting his reruns of Chico and the Man or something. All right. Hey, it's 2 minutes, 48 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2003. Draw near and learn. Drink deep of the cup of knowledge. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Cosmopolis, the city of tomorrow. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Coming up later on today, just a whole pile of things today. Coming up today, let's see. Make sure we got a Britney watch, Jackson watch, Bush watch, Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney is going to talk to us about all things. God, it's just a whole day for, it's a week for nutcases, isn't it? So we're going to talk about John Hinckley today. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to be with us later on to talk about not only the latest developments in the Michael Jackson case, but also the Golden Globe Awards. Those nominations came out today. Jolie from the front desk going to be here later on to talk about things you definitely should never, ever, ever buy the woman in your life for Christmas. We've got today's top five non-traditional Christmas songs of all time. That's coming up. Big, big, big developments in the world of cannibal news today. So big, I'm of two minds. I'm not even sure whether or not we should be announcing it during the lunchtime hours. You know, normally we have a sort of, we've arrived at some unofficial sort of detente about cannibal news and when it's appropriate to share cannibal news with peeps and when it's not. And we've sort of come to this inevitable conclusion that cannibal news was something best shared in the post-lunchtime segment of the show. But I don't even know that I can... I'm not even sure that I can wait on this. We'll have to see. Plus your phone calls, email. Don't forget, by the way, if you are, and why would you not be, if you're interested in attending Bigger Than Jesus, the Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan, which is really just 2 hours of the finest genius entertainment you're ever going to see in your life. It's coming back in January for 2 weekends. Tickets are on sale today only in person. I mean, you can get them online 24/7, as the kids say. Get them online with a credit card anytime, day or night, you know, whatever. But as far as buying them in person, you can do that today, right now, noon to 2, in the lobby of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. By the way, the first 8 people that purchase tickets for Bigger Than Jesus here at the studio will be awarded with a special limited edition copy of Les Wilson, The Magic of Christmas. Yes, the drunken Les Wilson, who I believe had also hopped down some serious Krylon paint before he...
You were going really good up until that point. People were going to come out and buy the tickets. Now they're going to stay away so
Dude,
they know they're
I
at
had
least
people
number
offering
nine.
Me money. I had people offer me like $30 for a copy of that Les Wilson thing. But here I am out of the... Because it's... You know, because it's the good Christian gesture to make. So for the first, 8 people that come by to get the hookup with the ticks, as they say, we'll give you a copy of Les Wilson's Christmas tip. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Here's Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll have ourselves a little Christmas right here. Come on, everyone, gather around.
String up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. There goes Jeffrey Dahmer with a festive Christmas ham. After he has sex with it, he'll eat up all he can. And there goes John F. Kennedy, caroling with his son.
Reunited for the holidays, God bless us everyone.
Everybody has a happy glow, let's dance in blood and pretend it's snow.
Even Mao Zedong is under the spell,
it's Christmas time in hell.
Adolf, here's a present for you.
Oh, a Tannenbaum!
Yes, a Tannenbaum.
God cast me down from heaven's door to rule in hell forevermore. But now I'm kind of glad that I fell, cause it's Christmas time in hell.
Here's a rack to hang the stockings on. We still have to shop for Genghis Khan.
Michael Landon's hair looks swell. It's Christmas time in hell.
There's Princess Diana holding burning mistletoe. Over poor Gene Siskel's head, just watch his weenie grow.
For one day we all stop burning, and the flames are not so thick. All the screaming and the torture stops as we wait for old St. Nick. So string up the lights and light up the tree. We're damned for all eternity, but for just one day, all is well. It's Christmas time in hell.
Gather close together and make it quick. We gotta make room for Andy Dick. Wake his mother and ring the bell. It's Christmas time. Christmas time. It's Christmas time in hell.
Merry Christmas, Movie House!
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And they might as well set a place at the table for the Green River Killer. He's going to end up there someday. As we speak, he gets a $10,000 fine per victim. There are 48 and a life sentence for each one. Yes, the Green River Killer sentencing is underway. Gary Ridgway's victims' families are giving him a piece of their mind.
I can only hope that someday someone...
Somewhere,
the
somehow.
Opportunity to choke you unconscious 48 times.
Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, you old serial killer.
Hey, listen, dumbfounded by the barrage of bad-mouthing.
I'm glad you did not have the guts to look into my sister's eyes while you were choking the life out of her.
Some family members of the dead women did share fond memories.
She was tough. She was outspoken. She was wild.
Sadly, some won't be missed at all.
Gary Leon Ridgway, I forgive you.
And that's it for now.
Well, there you go. And he's got a bad comb over, too, by the way. I'm checking. He's got those. He's got the thick sort of Rivers Cuomo glasses, but then he's got the big doorknob on top of his head that he's trying in vain to cover up. But the TV angle's at a really unflattering angle right now. The camera's positioned just right so you can see that. Yeah, you don't want to be... Yeah, you don't want to be in a van with that guy. That's the thing is, it's like, what was that his whole deal? That he wasn't another one of these guys that had, like, the sofa he was trying to get into the back of the VW Bug, right? How is it that he would get these women? I mean, I know they were hookers and all. Is that the deal? He'd just pick them up for a little bang-bang and then...
I think so, and then but I don't know that for certain.
The thump-thump and the choke-choke and the... I don't know. I just, because you got to wonder who gets into a van with this guy. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just like those creepy ass hitchhikers by the side of the road. It's like there's some weird scarred up Rutger Hauer looking guy standing in the rain. And it's, I think I'll stop. It's, I don't understand who does that. I've seen some of the cleanest cut looking hitchhikers. Has anybody here ever picked up a hitchhiker ever?
Have not.
Sarah?
I did in high school with a few of my girlfriends. It was just another girl standing on the side of the road.
Yeah, I see. That's just a thing that I would never do. It doesn't matter, man.
Yeah, it was like the scariest 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, she could have a gun.
Yeah, seriously.
I never picked up a hitchhiker. I picked up a guy whose car, he had like a flat tire or something. I took him to a gas station, but never a hitchhiker.
Man, being a good Samaritan never pays off. It's just going to end with your body moldering away down by the... And there's a guy who looks just like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is testifying against the Green River Killer.
Seriously.
No toys for him.
Yeah, I... You've been very naughty. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Wow. Anyway, why don't we get into the joy of Christmas here?
What we warned already. It's another exciting edition of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas, a time to celebrate all that's good and merry about this holiday season.
The Green River Killer looks like he's starting to get bored. Oh, he's falling asleep.
Well, it's like when they were doing that, and they arrested him, and they were doing the arraignment, and they're like, in the count of the manslaughter and woman number 5 of, you know, a limited series of 48, we find you. And I just had to tune out after a while, so you kind of know where that's going.
Oh, he appears to be writing a memoir right now. Anyway, here's the Joy of Christmas from Hazeldale today. A man has been arrested, accused of stealing a Christmas tree from his 77-year-old neighbor. Clark County Sheriff's deputies arrested Ramon Dodson after other neighbors reported the theft. They say they saw Dodson take the wire tree. This isn't even a real tree. In broad daylight from Margaret Getman's front yard. A deputy said they found the tree in Dodson's garage. People living in the area are upset that anyone would steal a Christmas tree, especially from a neighbor. It was pretty, said a neighbor.
I can't believe somebody would do this.
I can't even fathom
how trashy you are that you're stealing an aluminum Christmas tree from somebody. I mean, at least steal a real one. You know what I mean? You're stealing it. Aluminum ones outnumber the real ones now.
Well, that's true. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. We were having dinner somewhere, and it was this really beautiful tree. And, you know, I'm a total sucker for Christmas. I won't deny it. Everybody else, you can think it's cheesy or tacky or silly or maudlin or sappy or whatever. Man, I love Christmas stuff. And so I saw it, but this huge tree in the corner. It's just perfect. But it looked real, and I went over, and of course it was fake. But fake trees have come. Do you remember like those fake trees they had like in the late 70s? Where it's all with the bad. They would have this thing. See, Sarah,
it looks like somebody shredded a teeny dinner.
No, it's like they would have like a green wooden post in the middle, right? It would come in a box, all dissembled. Because now, I think the trees, I think if you buy a fake tree now, it comes already assembled and put together, and you just got to sort of bend the branches into place. That's how continuing the trash, we have a fake tree, of course, at our place this year.
As do I.
Yeah. Martha Stewart, baby. 1999. Now, having
actually
purchased...
I actually stole mine from an unnamed coffee company last year.
Starbucks. After having purchased a Martha Stewart product and finding that it's ease of assembly in you, I now feel that she's been unfairly accused, and that she's a woman being held down by the oppressive patriarchy. So I now am rooting for Martha. But Barbara almost made her cry last night. But we had this tree growing up, and it was in a box, right? And you would take it out, and you'd have to assemble it. And of course, dads love to assemble stuff. But here's a little thing about dads. There's two truths about dad. Here's two empirical dad truths. One, dads love to assemble stuff. Dads love to put things together. But two, like the sort of... corollary to that is that they're never any good at it. You know what I mean? And as time goes on, it's like dad just gets drunker and drunker and more angry about trying to how the tree won't fit together. And somehow the fault is never with dad and the fact that he's consumed half a bottle of Johnny Walker Black. It's always that the Asian who put this tree together doesn't know what he's doing. These instructions can't be followed by anybody. So, good times. But we had... For so much of my growing up, I only remember having a real tree 1 year when I was like three, and the rest of my life it was fake trees. So to me, it's like I totally don't even see the difference. Like as somebody who grew up with that, I don't even draw a distinction in my head. To me, artificial trees are real trees. So I
are you done with your like 10 minutes of blasphemy now?
It has nothing to do with blasphemy. I'm just saying for me, that's what I grew up with is the standard.
You gotta have a real tree.
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, have a real tree. Don't you know? You can get that stuff that. In the can, gives it a little spray, a little scent in the house. That's what I'm talking about. Here's Tim Riley.
And that's today's Rick Emerson Joy.
Yeah. Dad would buy you something that had to be assembled the night before Christmas because dads also take this bizarre joy in dads like to have the thing assembled, you know, and then waiting for you next day to get your bike or whatever it's open at the end. And so you go out Christmas morning, right, and there's the thing that's purportedly assembled and ready to use, and then off to the side, there's always this small pile of parts that he couldn't figure out the location. Like, he couldn't figure out where they went on the actual item. So they're just sort of sitting there. Then for the rest of the year, every time you're going down a steep hill on your Huffy, you know, you're sort of aware that there's a bunch of parts that are supposed to be on it that he couldn't really find the proper place for.
Anyway, Bill O'Reilly is lashing out against Matt Drudge during his popular Fox News program, The O'Reilly Factor. Just hours after closely guarded book sales figures were splashed on the internet, sales figures show how, contrary to his claims, O'Reilly lags far behind rivals Al Franken and Senator Hillary Clinton on nonfiction props. He calls Drudge a threat to democracy. You can't believe a word Matt says, O'Reilly tells the cameras. Now you got the Matt Drudges of the world and these people, Michael Moore and all these crazies, all right. No responsibility. This is a threat to what I think. And O'Reilly warned, they'll spin it and twist it out of proportion every way they can.
This is because O'Reilly was on television claiming that he had the best-selling book of the year with his new book, of which I am the proud owner. Thank you to my mother-in-law.
How's that anyway?
Yeah, it's dandy. It's wonderful. Especially if you got like a door you need to prop open somewhere in your house or something, you know, a little like a large insect that needs to be reduced to a paste.
Table that needs balancing.
Seriously, it's what we might call, generously speaking, it's what we call a slender volume. So the big selling point when she handed it to me was that you could read it in 15 minutes, you know. So at least, you know, so you can at least take the same amount of time to read it as Bill O'Reilly did to have it ghostwritten for him. So but he was on television flapping his big gums about how it was the best-selling book of the year, and then they released Book List, which is sort of like the sound scan of the book industry, and it's like, it's not number one, it's not number two. It's like behind Hillary Clinton's book, which no one has read. No one has read Hillary Clinton's book. There's no one, anybody, even in Portland, I don't know anybody who's read Hillary Clinton's book, and she's still beating his tired liver-spotted ass. So, you know, anyway.
Well, time for the Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch.
He's the president, resident. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying,
that's my Bush.
Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a man.
That's my Bush.
Well, capturing Saddam doesn't necessarily mean more Americans will tune in to see what she'll do next in a televised interview, as the president found out this week. His Tuesday night interview on ABC's primetime attracted far fewer viewers than socialite Paris Hilton's Fox reality show The Simple Life, the Fox show based on the real-life adventures of Hilton and fellow rich girl Nicole Richie. According to Nielsen's, 11 million viewers tuned in to watch the president of the United States call for the ultimate penalty for the Iraqi dictator found hiding in a hole. But almost 1 million more people had their eyes glued to the screen to watch the miniskirt-clad 22-year-old Hilton hotel heiress make homemade pies and help out at a kissing booth at a town fair.
I thought that was, when was that, Tuesday?
Tuesday,
yeah, I saw that. It's where Nicole and, what's her name, Richie? Paris and Nicole were walking around and there was some dude that they're hanging out with and they were taunting some girl. And it's called, what's his name, Bill, the guy who runs the board for Henry in the evening was watching it. It was one of those things where you caught it for like 7 minutes out of the corner of your eye, and you realize how grateful you are that you don't spend time like having to invest your life in watching the entire thing.
Well, the president speaking at Walter Reed Medical Center today has good news for GIs who lost their limbs in Iraq. They can now go back to the front.
Americans would be surprised to learn that a grievous injury such as the loss of a limb no longer means forced discharge. In other words, the medical care is so good and the recovery process is so technologically advanced.
We can go back and be shot at a second time.
People are no longer forced out of the military.
Yes, medical advancement make it possible for America's bravest to stay in uniform with missing limbs.
It's a new age. And it's a new army. Ooh. Today.
So, that's a good thing, I guess.
I have no response. You just picture a bunch of guys with guns just sort of rolling themselves down a hill at the enemy, I guess. I don't know what that's all about. Like, they're all going to be clamoring to be, no, 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 please keep me, you know?
So this is going to be something they have a choice about, right?
Yeah, there you go. Have fun. All right, there's your Bushwatch.
He's the president, resident, he's kind of
we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Today. Here to go.
Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What the hell? It's like that scene where Patton's beating the hell out of that guy in the... No, you're going back to the front, my friend! Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
There's the magic of Les Wilson from his award-winning cassette, Make a Joyous Noise.
Really, what awards has it won?
I don't know. We've got.
Do they now have homeless Grammys?
We've got this from Aaron.
Still goodbye.
And then one more time. We've got this from Aaron. Geek in the City. Rick, did you just say that people could buy tickets for Bigger Than Jesus today, noon to two? Wow, what a great gift idea, he says, for the music, theater, or culture fan in your circle. Just in case I missed it, he says, I can come by today, noon to two, at KOTK and buy tickets? Thanks, Rick. Now all my friends will have their stockings stuffed. Aaron, whorish geek in the city. P.S. F-Matt with your veritable onslaught.
This F-Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Here's Tim Riley in the Caretaker Newsroom.
That is a great gift idea. The government has filed a complaint against the marketers of Girls Gone Wild videos and DVDs, saying the company shipped unordered products and then charged customers. The videos and DVDs feature young women who bare their breasts and perform sexually suggestive acts. Millions of copies have been sold. The Justice Department filed a complaint against the California-based Matra Films on behalf of the FTC. The government alleges Matra enrolled customers who responded to internet and TV advertising for a single video or DVD in a continuity program that did not give them effective means to cancel.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I resisted the urge to subscribe to any of that. Let me just tell you this, because a couple things. A, they sort of just leverage this on the fact that you're going to be too embarrassed to complain about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like signing up to some porn site where it's just people taking a whiz on something, and it's like, what? Who are you going to call? It's not like you're really going to call the attorney. I paid for a whiz site, and I've been unfairly billed with it. You know, you're just going to kind of suck it up at that point. You know what I mean? You're not going to complain about it. And I think we all kind of figured this out in the fifth grade when we joined like the RCA record and tape club. And then suddenly you started getting these cardboard packages arriving in the mail about every 5 weeks that you had to, like, and then it became an entire hassle. Ended up with your mom buying 15 Hall & Oates records that she didn't really want, like, just to sort of buy your way out of that, the white slavery of record clubs. And lastly, I'll say this. The only serious complaint I have about Girls Gone Wild is just, I've only ever seen the Mardi Gras one. So I've seen Girls Gone Wild at Mardi Gras, and I was just going to say it's very disappointing. I was to understand that there was much more hot girl-on-girl action than there really is. This, again, goes back to my oft-repeated claim that if you just had, like, a video or a DVD of just some chicks making out, they wouldn't even have to be nude. That's my whole thing. It's a lot easier to produce than you probably think of. They wouldn't even have to be naked. It could just be some chicks, whatever, sitting there, they're on the couch, hey, you look like you need a rub down, next thing, bingo, bango, making out. I would totally buy that. My last point here before we go to CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, who'll talk to us about things of an important and serious nature, is this. I do feel that I haven't gotten the true Girls Gone Wild experience because it's Girls Gone Wild and Mardi Gras, which seems like you're sort of, it's like having a ringer. You know what I mean? You're sort of cheating by doing that.
You have the same issue, though, with Girls Gone Wild Spring Break. They're supposed to go wild at Spring Break.
I don't know, but at least at Spring Break, they're just doing it. They're not getting beads. They're just doing it because they're drunk. You know what I mean? It's like having Girls Gone Wild at Mardi Gras is kind of like having a street basketball pickup game, but, you know, one guy's got Charles Barkley, you know, and then the other team is just you and your pals from the legal office. Anyway, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Growing more embarrassed by the moment, it's a CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney, patrolling the corridors of power in Washington, D.C. How are you, my friend?
What have I done now, Rick?
No, I'm just... Let me ask you this. When you look down and you sort of see on your run sheet or whatever the day that, look, I got to talk to WFYT and
right.
Phoenix and then here's, you know, do you just look down and see KOTK and just sort of cringe and think momentarily about pawning it off on somebody else?
I sort of sigh.
You just reach for the bottle.
Yeah.
You look at the clock and think, okay, it'll all be over at 12:35.
Yeah, I know I've got to do it. So.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about your friend and mine, John Hinckley Jr., who's going to be apparently tearing up the town this holiday season. They're going to let this guy go. And because are they saying he's not insane anymore?
Oh no!
He's quite mad.
The psychiatrists are saying that he's making enough progress that this is the next logical step for him.
And so is it? Well, because it seems like it's a rather binary issue. I mean, one is either you're either batty or you're not. And so are they saying that he is nuts still, but that this is part of his treatment?
Well, they're saying he's making progress, that he's doing better over the years, that they feel he's conquered some of his mental problems, and they're trying to, as you know, they're not a prison, they're a treatment facility, so they're trying to do their best to get him integrated back into society if possible.
All right, and so what are these visits of his consist of? Is this he's going to be, what, overnight with his parents, or he's just going to be out on his own? Is he going to be accompanied by somebody in the hospital, make sure he doesn't go a little wacky again? How does this work?
Yeah, it's that accompaniment issue that is key to it, Rick. He's had about 200 visits out of the hospital over the past few years, but just to locations around Washington. He's gone to movies, bowling alleys, that sort of thing, just to be out and about a little bit, but always accompanied by hospital staff, and also, I should tell you, under the watchful eye of the Secret Service. Now, whether the hospital people like that or not, This new ruling by the judge, at Hinckley's request, says he may spend up to 6 visits, daytime visits, with his parents, but in the Washington area. See, they live down in Williamsburg, Virginia. And the judge is saying you can't leave Washington more than a 50-mile radius. So his parents will have to come up to this area, stay in a motel or with friends, presumably, and then he can spend some time with them.
Is it sort of a fait accompli, though, that they're never really going to let this guy out, just completely? I mean, do we think he's going to be locked up in one form or another the rest of his life?
Well, I mean, believe me, the government is always going to fight this, as are members of the Reagan family and Jim Brady's family, the former press secretary who was wounded. All of them continually, when these issues come up, are consulted and by the authorities, and they say, no, we're very much against it. So, you know, I can't predict what will eventually happen to Hinckley, but he's got a lot of people stacked up against him.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent John Bisney in Capitol Hill. 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Later on in the show, we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. This is Tim Riley.
Well, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has just declared California in a fiscal crisis, invoking emergency powers. Maybe there'll be tanks in the street down there. Who knows what he's going to do next. Time now for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the 9/11 attacks is publicly saying that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented. This is a very, very important part of history, and I've got the right to tell it, says Thomas Keene. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This is not something that had to happen. Appointed by the Bush administration himself, Keene is a former Republican governor of New Jersey. He's now pointing fingers inside the administration and laying down the blame. There are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at that time because they failed. They simply failed.
Well, among other things, they made this claim that Condoleezza Rice said in late 2001, she said something along the lines of, well, how could we possibly have known that somebody would fly an airplane into a building? It's completely insane. There's no way we could have seen it coming. When, in fact, I think like the CIA's own reports in 1991 said that it was possible. And, of course, Jesus, what was that, that Stephen King, The Running Man? Not the movie with Schwarzenegger, but the original novel, The Running Man, that Stephen King wrote, ends with a guy, like, flying a plane into a building. And I think Tom Clancy has a book that has a guy flying a plane into, like, the Capitol. I mean, it's not like it's... Clearly, it's not that isolated of an idea. It is one of those things that, yeah, you probably could have seen coming, you know?
And now, hey, remember this story before the Saddam... Remember Halliburton overcharging people? That story's kind of... vanish out the radar screen since Saddam's capture.
It's liberal propaganda.
It is. Well, the Pentagon is now downplaying that audit that suggested that Halliburton overcharged the government to import gasoline to Iraq. The Pentagon's comptroller said he has no reason to believe that Halliburton's trying to cheat the American taxpayers. Halliburton's Dave Lazar offers the following explanation as to what happened.
If you look at the marketplace in the Middle East, Kuwait was the only place we could go for fuel at that point in time. The reason for that is that the other countries around were not supporting the U.S. at that point in time.
Oh, so it's all Kuwait's fault now.
Yeah.
So we liberated them, and they overcharged us by $61 million. But it's nothing to do with Halliburton. And that is today's Battle Watch.
There's your Battle Watch. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955 or do this. We got more on the way, including a Jackson watch, Brittany watch. CNN radio America, correspondent Jim Rubin, all that. Stay all there. We'll be back.
Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955.
More coming up, including the Jackson Watch, Brittany Watch, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Today we're going to talk about things you should never, ever, 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 ever buy a woman for Christmas. Later on today's Top 5, Top 5 non-traditional Christmas songs of all time. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Well, these are the unlikely stories of 2003. Now, every year, thousands of news stories get overlooked, lost, all beneath the welter of major international events. So let's uncover some of these. We don't want to lose them because they're all so good. This comes to us from Beja, Portugal. A school janitor set a teenager's leg on fire in an attempt to help the youth recover from an injury he suffered in a fall. The 14-year-old said the janitor applied alcohol to his injured leg and then set it on fire with his lighter.
You're going to feel a little sting here.
He told me this is what we used to do in the war. Then I told him I wasn't in a war, said Antonio Pereira.
Do you ever wonder if old people are just insane? Like, if old people are all just completely... It's like, you know, your mom would always tell you stuff like that. It's like, did your mom ever give you that whole thing, when I was a boy, like, do they still do the yearly lice checks, you know, in school? Do they still do that?
Saddam.
They go through school,
I'm
and they look
sure.
through you. Because I remember we had to do that, like, once a year.
They do the lice checks and the scoliosis checks.
Yeah, the scoliosis check. And we always had this weird Filipino doctor who would sort of lightly rub your back and then giggle a lot. And so this is... And so we would... You did that, right? You had the scoliosis check.
Yeah, that one.
No one gets scoliosis. There was never one person in your school that had scoliosis.
Oh, my friend had scoliosis,
really?
Actually, yeah, and had to get her back corrected.
It's just like a... But it's like you don't have to check for that. Like, you can sort of spot it, right? You know, somebody comes in and they're all, you know, looking like they're dragging a brain from the cemetery for your super monster that you're building. I mean, that's... You can tell they've got scoliosis.
Well, I don't think that you check a lot to see if your spine is straight.
No, but I mean, you can tell if someone has got a hump, right? I mean, it's, you know, if someone is, someone's got a hunch, it's not like it's...
This isn't necessarily a hump.
What is it?
Isn't it like when your spine can be, like, misaligned?
Yeah, it's like your spine, instead of being, like, in a nice vertical line, you get, like, bends in your spine and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seems like that's the sort of thing you'd notice, because a person would be walking around all kittywampus.
Yeah.
In any event, we would go in the gymnasium, and we'd go into the locker room and take our shirt off, and this guy named Dr. whatever his name was would stand behind us, and he'd do that thing where he traces his fingers down your spine, except this guy would sort of like stop and give you like these weird sort of like lingering fingertip massages a lot, and then he would sort of put, this is completely true, and then he would sort of like put his hand, like he didn't have to do anything really, but I mean it's like he would sort of put your, like if you, you know, like where you would have love handles, you know, or whatever, that area, like right above your hips, he would sort of just sort of like gently caress you, and then he'd go... then
was he a member of the church?
Oh, yeah, full on. Not even a priest. Maybe he's a priest in training or something. Anyway. And then, so, you know, they give me that. And I never had the, you know, we never had anybody. I think we had one kid who had lice one year. They had to do a thing. But your mom gave it, when I was young, they had to dip your head in kerosene. Which is, you know, I mean, it's like, I wonder any of our parents are still alive, man.
So here's another story. This comes to us from Kuala Lumpur, which is fun to say. A Malaysian man who sought treatment for his eye, had a shock when doctors found a 6-centimeter length of chopstick embedded just beneath his brain. The chopstick that ran right underneath his right eye, through his nose, and to the back of his left eye is believed to have been stuck there 5 years ago during an attack by unknown assailants. From Taiwan. An 82-year-old woman is threatening to sue her 90-year-old husband after he was found to be having an extramarital affair with another woman aged 80. The two were discovered when police and the wife searched a hostel, and the errant husband told them he was in love with the younger woman and didn't regret what he did.
And so he's how old?
90.
And she's how old?
80.
It's like two soggy pieces of bread having sex. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Good for them, though. They're still having a healthy sex life at 90.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's just one of those things you know. I don't want to visualize. All right. We'll move on.
So a little bit more of the story we touched on the other day. Joan Webb is stunned that she might have to do jail time after selling a vibrator to a Texas undercover cop. Apparently it's against the law down there. Her business is called Passion Parties. They become the Tupperware party of the new millennium.
Not at all. I started this business because I wanted to have an opportunity to help women in their relationships, to encourage them, to educate them. That is what my goal was when I decided to become a Passion Parties consultant. And obviously, there was a problem.
Yeah, this country is developing and evolving in really strange, I mean, not entirely bad ways, but it's like this never happened when we were growing up. It's like, I remember my mom literally went to Tupperware parties, when I was a kid. It's like she was, typical suburban housewife in a lot of ways. And she would totally go to these parties where it's like they would be selling you, like, things to keep hot dog buns fresh in. When, you know, you wouldn't go in some place where they had the Hitachi magic wand, you know, laid out on a table for you. You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember Avon parties, too?
I totally remember. I mean, she didn't go, but this woman across the street sold Avon. The woman across the street sold Avon, and a woman about two doors down across the street sold, Mary Kay?
Mary Kay.
Yeah, they still have Mary Kay.
She have the pink Cadillac?
She never got the, because she's fat and ugly, and you're not going to buy makeup from somebody that looks like that. Let's just call a spade a spade. So, she looked like a Lulu hog. You know, I mean, it just, she looked like that woman who ran the post office in those sketches on Hee Haw. You're not going to buy makeup from that woman. But the Avon parties were always happening across the street, but it's like that, you know, they didn't have the Jelly Finger 5000 or whatever, anything you'd taken out and trying to pitch to my mom. And that whole idea is disturbing anyway. I mean, you don't want to think about that. It's just, you know, there's a whole generation of kids out there that just one, you know what it is? They're one accidental drawer opening in the house away from being scarred for life. Because all of these parties, these aren't for young, like, swinging single women, most of them. I mean, this is for, like, these are, like, for repressed 35-year-old frigid women that, you know, have nothing to live for. You know, and the husband, whatever. The husband spends his time with a model train set or something in the attic. And so they just, they've got Mr. Tonko toy that they plug into the wall every now and again. And some kid's going to come in and he's going to be looking for, you know, whatever, a box of matches. And he's going to open the drawer and there it is, you know, some big double-headed love dragon. And it's, you know, and...
Well, just say, where are the bristles on this electric toothbrush?
He's never going to be the same.
Well, Joan Webb's husband, Travis, claims his wife just wanted to help others.
I'm shocked and amazed at how far someone would go, some folks would go, to try to shut down a business that they disagree with, especially one that is clearly oriented towards helping people.
See, and this is more proof, by the way, that women and men just have completely different attitudes about sexuality. Like, you can't, at no point would a man ever have a similar, like, there is no similar, I guess there's beer tasting parties. I guess that's what men have got. Women have got vibrator parties, and men have got... Like, men would never sit around and just, like, have a party where they swap porn magazines. I mean, I guess Jen Lane does the porn swap, but that's at a place, though. That's at a bar, and you're basically just there to get sloshed. Men would never do this. Men would never sit around and, like, swap, you know, with their portable plastic pocket pal, you know, and, you know, showing the different vibrating speeds it's got to their pals. It's not a thing they'd ever do.
Well, a man who sued his employer and co-workers after being spanked with a wooden club on his birthday has he's lost his court case in Minnesota. The judge ruled that neither Jeremy Meinstra's co-workers nor his employer, Laura Maintenance, intended to hurt him. He said it's just a workers' compensation case. So the man's attorney said the decision was shocking and that she plans to appeal. Rowland said the man was beaten so badly in the 2001 accident that he was spitting up blood and had to be treated at a hospital.
God.
And the injuries forced him to take a week off from work.
And it was for his birthday?
Yeah, the co-workers threw him to the ground and repeatedly hit him with a 2x4 that was made to look like a baseball bat.
Yeah.
The club had holes in it and was cut down to for resistance.
Happy birthday, you're crippled.
Yeah. The judge said the fellow union employees... hitting their co-worker with a 2x4 was childish, unnecessary, and ultimately injurious behavior. Joe Hamill, attorney for the company, deemed the ruling good. He called the case unusual and claimed that Lorem's managers didn't know about the tradition. Oh, this is a tradition. The company has since banned spankings and fleshed out the culprits.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk to Joe. He's a full-time listener and a first-time caller in Portland. What's up?
Yeah, I was about 14 and... was looking for some books in my mom's bookshelf.
Oh.
And found her playmate.
Oh! And did you know what... Wait, how old were you, 14?
Yeah.
So did you know what it was?
Yeah, I knew what it was. Yeah. It was in a little purple velvet case.
Yeah. Wait, and so you opened the case?
No, it... Well, you know what? I must have.
Yeah, and so it's... See, part of you knew. Part of you, you wanted to know, but you didn't want to know, you know?
Yeah.
And so you opened it up, and that's the sort of thing. It's like, There's all kinds of things that you don't want to visualize, but it's like your brain has this weird masochistic thing where it's like your brain's like, don't picture mom using it. Don't picture, don't, you know, and it's like right there. And man, it's like you've been branded like from the Bar X Ranch on your hindquarters. That's in your brain for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, and it all turns into a denial thing, you know, because I actually brought it up to her and asked her about it, and somehow she convinced me that it wasn't hers.
Sure, sure. Now, somebody's storing it here for mommy. I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, mommy doesn't know anything about it. Hey, how'd you discover the show?
Just cruising around the dial.
Excellent. Well, you call anytime. You spread the word, Joe.
All
right, there you go.
On it.
All right, excellent. God love you. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
The world's largest retailer is entering the online music market. Walmart has begun to test its new 88-cent per song online music service. The price is 11 cents cheaper than the 99-cent standard of its competition.
Because nothing screams music we want to buy like the words Wal and Mart put together.
They say 64% of its customers are online. The retailer says it sees digital musical downloads as a logical next step in its music offerings. The site is up and running this morning. The company plans to see what customers like and don't like about the service in the months ahead and formally launch the service in 2004.
How about I don't like the fact that I have to pay for it? That's what I like right there. That's the thing that these iTunes, and God love them, God love Steve Jobs. I admit to being part of the cult of Steve Jobs worship in this country. But you know what these guys like to do? iTunes, what they don't really ever seem to get is that even if it was free, which iTunes basically, you know, Apple doesn't make any money on iTunes. iTunes exists solely as a way to push the iPod, which is where they make their money. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing of like giving you the... It's different. See, with iTunes, they're giving you the blades and selling you the razor. It's different. You know, with the, you know, they've upended this sort of traditional business model. Apple pretty much gives that music away. But then they want you to buy the iPod to play it on. But what they don't ever really grasp is even if they were giving, you know, all of that music away absolutely for free, they still face an uphill battle against, like, Kazaa or whoever, who just has a bigger selection. I mean, Kazaa's kind of sort of the 800-pound gorilla that the record industry is just going to have to... You know, they're just going to have to start dealing with those guys at some point. They don't understand. They're not willing to admit it. They just got their freaking heads in the ground, and they're trying to deny it. But, man, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass. You don't fix it somehow. We've got really the most disturbing call you've ever heard. I'm looking at it right now, and we're going to get to that next once the lunch hour's over. So in about 6 minutes, you're going to hear the worst thing ever. We've got a big cannibal update. We've got a Jackson watch, a Britney watch, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, and all that. Stay there. Here's Slick Rick. We'll be back.
They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another, and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was his easy undercover. The cop grabbed his arm, he started acting erratic. He said,
keep still, boy, no need for static.
Punched him in his belly and he gave him a slap. But little did he know the little boy was strapped.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Bradley. Now that 7-Eleven has flavored syrup and steam milk mix in a wide variety of toppings, there are over 1,300 ways to create a cup of coffee that's delicious and unique at participating 7-Eleven stores. An Oregon man is in jail in the other Portland, Maine, that is, but the state of Oregon is unwilling to pay to extradite Dwight Lindbaum home. He's accused in an Oregon warrant of stalking and harassing women. But Maine police are angry that Oregon won't take him. They even offered to pay the $3,000, but that's a no from the governor. 17-year-old driver now facing criminal charges after a crash that killed three of his teen friends last month. Andrew Ginder was booked in Lane County Juvie this week. He was released the next day with conditions on his driving. All, including Gindler, were soccer players at Elmira High School. A 16-year-old boy has been convicted in adult court for sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in a northeast Portland park in May. David Morris Jr. was 15 at the time of the crime. He was armed with a sharpened weapon as he grabbed the girl from behind as she walked at Woodland Park with her 6-year-old brother. A nice sunny day today, highs about 50. Clear tonight, lows in the 30s. Partly sunny in the morning, but showers coming in the afternoon. Maybe some rain for the weekend, too. Tim Riley, KOTK News.